the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, welcome back to another episode of the CBP. This is number, 148. My name is Joey, and the other panel, as always, Len. What is going on, buddy? How the heck are you?
I'm cold, man. I'm cold. The furnace isn't going on right now because it's not warm enough, sorry, not cold enough to make the furnace go up. So I'm sitting here in the basement freezing, so that's why I got to wear this nice sweater, which a listener gave to me, too. I just want to, you know, maybe show it off a little bit. Thank you very much for the Wink Electric sweater. So, yeah, keeping me warm here. How are you, Joey?
I'm good, man. About 3% richer than I was this morning, which is nice. Actually, I said to myself today for the 3% pump, yeah. Just crack a fizzy water. No beer tonight.
I got some tap water here.
that's all I can afford, just the bubbly. Actually, this is like off-brand bubbly. I'm pretty sure this is the Shopper's brand. It's called Aha. Is carbonated water maybe the next cigarette? I don't know. Should we be drinking this much carbonated stuff? We drink a lot of fizzy water around here.
Wait. It's one thing to take in a dragon and get your lungs coated with all kinds of garbage, but they're just putting carbon dioxide in the drink, right? Is that a bad?
I don't know.
And what happens? You either burp it up or it just fizzes out by itself, right?
Maybe. I have no idea.
I'm not a doctor by any stretch of the mean, but I don't know. It doesn't seem all that. Like, people have been drinking this for basically forever, but whatever.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. I'm trying to stream on Instagram tonight. I'm using my own personal Instagram because I want to see if this works. And
I never quite got right, eh? By the way, after Sabrina used it, I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, I still think seeing your little daughter's head in the video is like the funniest thing of all time. She's just in the bottom one fifth of the panel. That's
and great. You know, she's almost as tall as I am. She's getting quite large.
And, that's good.
So whatever.
And well, we may as well check out the video. Yeah, you may as well pimp the video. So okay, a couple things. We'll do the housekeeping up front here since we already started. Then we'll do the sponsors. Last week we had. Geez, I'm drawing a blank here. Who did we have last week? Oh, Hrvoje Morić. That was a great show. If you haven't listened to that one yet, I highly recommend it. He's got a great outlook. He disagrees with some of the stuff we've talked about in the past about BRICS and has an interesting take on sort of what is driving this, unit party, everyone gunning for the same, personal rights stuff that Bitcoiners all talk about all the time. And I do really enjoy his show, Geopolitics and Empire. We talk about that as well. He's got a great backstory, by the way. Citizen of three nations, professor at the biggest Mexican university for a time, and then he becomes sort of global dissident, debanked, and put in the crosshairs by some pretty big three-letter NGOs. So I don't know if you've heard that one yet, Len, but you should listen to it, and you should too, listener, viewer, everyone in the chat here. I appreciate you guys coming in. I want you to check that one out. That was a really fun interview, and I will be on Hrvoje's TNT radio show at some point in the next, I don't know, a month or two. I have to book a time with him. I really enjoyed talking to him. I spoke to him for a little bit after the show too, as I always do. Tons of great guests we've had on the show, and they all turned out to be great people at the end of the day as well. So enjoy that one. This week.
Wait. I just want to say, we got to bring some people in that give us some controversy. Somebody, the butt heads. I want those UBI guys to come on. I'd love to chat with them.
He lives. And I want him butt heads. That guy lives near me. I want him to come to my house. Yeah,
I'll come for that interview. I'll take my bicycle if I have to just to fucking do it.
That guy lives near my house. So I would like to talk to him. I have to get his contact from Tom and Nick. So this week we have Madex, the one and only, painted that thing right behind me there. Again, I think painting is the wrong word. He created that thing right behind me there, that little Bitcoin totem. He's been around for a long time, and he's done a lot of podcast appearances recently-ish. I say a lot. A lot is a relative term. A lot more than he used to do. And so him and I will be talking about art, Bitcoin, probably a bunch of other stuff that I just don't even know what I'm in for yet. He is a guy with a lot of opinions and strongly held views on a lot of the same things that we talk about, the way things are going here, some good, some bad. So I'm looking forward to that. He's another Albertan, Len, so a freedom-minded young man, as you know, I'm sure, and I'm positive that that'll be a spicy episode. Definitely.
Look at that. look at that comment from LV99 Slacker. There's a Stacker.news post from somebody who claimed to be a socialist Bitcoiner. You know, I want that guy on the show. I want to hear how this could operate moving forward. Is obviously Bitcoin and socialism, they don't seem to really mesh together well, but maybe they do, and I'm missing something.
Yeah, like, my brother in Christ, they do not mix. They're like oil and water. And then
I want to be open-minded.
Yeah, not me. So I don't know. Do we have any other housekeeping? Maybe we do the sponsors, and then we can talk a bit about some of the other stuff going on the network here. So,
well, we'll do Boost first. We'll get this.
Let's do sponsors here. All right. EasyDNS, headline sponsor. Best place for you to host your website, your BTC Pay server, anything you need a virtual private server for. So BTC Pay, Nostr Relay, Bitcoin Node, Nodeless, you name it, you can do it. Mark actually just did a pretty good podcast appearance on, I want to say Bitcoin Maestro. I can't remember the name of the show, Bitcoin Meister. And he put it on the Bomb Thrower feed. I enjoyed it. I like talking to Mark. Obviously, he's a friend of mine, and you know, he's been a great partner of the show. He's done a lot for us, and we've used his services over on EasyDNS to maintain our domain, host all our content. We're not worried about being taken down. We're not worried about ever running into roadblocks when we need some improvements or additions to the website. He's done a killer job with that, CanadianBitcoiners.com. And if you want to start something like that, listener, viewer, he's your guy. So head over, tell him we sent you, use the code CBP Media. You get half off your first round of buys. Not to mention, Len, that CanadianBitcoiners.com is also, we should say this, we don't say it often enough. If you want a preview of what we're going to talk about during the show on Monday nights, every week, Len puts together some of the stories that we're going to talk about as and puts them in the, you know, week to come section. So if you head over to CanadianBitcoiners.com, you can see that stuff there. Sign up for the mailing list. Sometimes I get bored on a weekend and have too much coffee and might write something that'll show up in your email inbox. It's all through EasyDNS, the miracle of a quality domain registrar. So head over there and see what's up with Mark.
It's not Web3, which is good.
It's very Web1. A lot of web
warmth
there.
I don't even know what the heck it is, but it's certainly not Web3. But second sponsor, Bull Bitcoin. Great place to buy Bitcoin. You can sell your Bitcoin if you wanted to. Looking at the price right behind me, it's maybe some people might be tempted to sell their Bitcoin. Do whatever you want with it, but Bull Bitcoin will give you the options that's readily available to you. But you're not just buying on-chain. You're also buying, if you want, it could be Lightning. So you could get, if there's times where there's high transaction fees, you could use Lightning to do it. Not now. Transaction fees are relatively low. I saw it around 30 cents per gigabyte earlier today. I don't know what it is right now. But yeah, so there you go. A lot of different options over there. But you could also, with your Bitcoin, you could pay your bills through Bull Bitcoin, and you could buy gift cards with your Bitcoin through Bull Bitcoin, and you could spend that in the real world, just like Satoshi wants you to do this, the Bitcoin standard, and you could just use your Bitcoin everywhere. But the best thing they have over there is the KYC-free Bitcoin. You go to Canada Post, load up your Canadian dollars, and it shows up on your Bull Bitcoin account, and then you can buy KYC-free Bitcoin. Very cheap, cheapest actually in the game right now in Canada. Quick, easy, painless. Did a video on that. Check it out. It's really easy to do. And if you haven't already signed up using our code, do so below. And if you want to just go to website, www.iwantbitcoin.ca. And that's another way to get to our referral code. $21 added to your account if you do so.
We're just giving money away over here, man. The CBP doth provide, should you be loyal to the people who help us produce the show. So that's great. Boost, yeah? Let's talk about some Boost. Who gave us money this week, and what did they have to say?
You know, I'm just going to go with one, because there's been some Boost with no comments, so I can't really... Thank you very much. But
I appreciate it anyways. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But give us something to say, man. This is like part of the show. We'll read anything. Yeah. I won't do something. Marty and Matt do the thing where they read literally anything. Like they had a guy write like penis 1,000 times or something, and he read it. I don't know if it was 1,000, but it was a lot of times. And I don't want to do that. But for a six-figure SAT boost, I might. There's a lot of things I would do for a six-figure SAT boost. So go ahead anyway.
Well, this is from Top W. Cohen, 400 sats. And it's actually a pretty lengthy one. It's a multi-message because he was communicating with somebody. He's saying that the U.S. president can order the bombing and invasion of any place without asking Congress because of the War Powers Act of 1973. Gee, just after 1971. Huh. So since then, every president but Ford has used it. Carter sent an attack force to free the hostages in Iran. So all the president has to do is inform Congress within 30 days. Just inform them. So, you know, it's going to be in the news. So it's going to be already there. So not much he has to say. But even Trump did the same thing. He's saying that he used that to bomb Somalia, and they used Navy against Somali government ships trying to collect taxes in international waters. And they also sent troops to Djibouti. And this as well continued to bomb Syria and provide support to Saudis bombing Yemen. So Ford was not in charge long enough to use it because he was a saint. So not because he was a saint, but just he was there for a very short period of time. So there you go. The War Powers Act of 1973, the president could start bombing at will at whenever they want. They just have to alert Congress within 30 days. Now we were talking about that last week.
Where else do you get information like that from the listeners? We got well-informed listeners here. And you make a good observation there, Len. Right after 71, they drop an act that you can just start firing away on 30 days notice. Not bad. So are you telling me that it's easier in some ways to bomb a foreign country if you're an American president than it is to evict a deadbeat tenant in the province of Ontario? How about that? How's that sound?
The ramifications from each of them are slightly different. You know, going out and just bombing a country willy-nilly, I don't know. You get the same type of backlash.
I teed you up for that. I do think that's funny, though. Interesting.
Yeah, well, that's just the reality. And it goes to show you that there's a lot that you could do as the president. But as we were noting, it was just after 1971 that this War Powers Act, or whatever the fuck it's called, War Powers Act, that's it, in 1973 came into effect. So really, they could start a war. They could fund it easily because they don't have any gold standard to adhere to. They could just print money, fund the war, and away you go. So lots of power given away right after 1971, or actually gained by certain people after 1971.
You love to see
anything else? Well, we do have some housekeeping. You were saying some shows, some of the CBP Media Network you wanted to talk about.
I didn't record a Two Whites and a Blue on the weekend. The next one is going to be good because we did have a dinner with my in-laws, Kenzie and I, Mike and his new girlfriend, which I'm sure Mike will be keen to talk about. Will was also there since he's basically a member of the family at this point. He's been around longer than me. Obviously, they all get together a lot. So I'm looking forward to having those two guys back in the studio here. We'll discuss that and maybe the finer points of alcohol consumption the first time you meet the parents. What are the do's and don'ts? I really don't know, but we'll talk about it, among other things, I'm sure. Always a fun chat. What about you? What's up on NHL 94?
I have an interview coming up. It's not going to be live on Wednesday. I'm going to be recording that, and it's going to be somebody. I might as well drop it. Mikey McBrien. He's from the Ice Pilot Show, and he's a very prominent member of the NHL 94 community. So it's going to be fun to chat with him. He did a documentary on NHL 94 a few years back. He met Mark Lester, the programmer, the lead programmer of NHL 94, and a bunch of other people like Cliff Ronning. He played NHL 94 with him, Glenn Anderson, Steve Larmer, a whole bunch of guys. It's a great documentary, and I'm going to bring him on. We'll chat all about that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I look forward to it. That's a good reminder for you and me that we need to test whether StreamYard will let us record and go live at the same time. I have one other piece of housekeeping here. A friend of the show, C-Funk, reached out and asked if we would promote a conference, which actually has a really good speakers list. The conference is Bitcoin Atlantis, which I realize is maybe a little far for some of you. But if you want to go and you want 15% off or 10% off, something like that, something pretty heavy, you can use the code Canada. So here's the deal. Normally with these things, you get a kickback, right? And so Len and I over the years, like if we do promo codes for conferences or like the Bull Bitcoin one, obviously we get a little bit of a kickback. Others, you guys hear about this stuff when we go through sponsorships. Normally what we would do is take 5%. Like you would get 10% off, we would get 5%. And then, you know, we'd take the money and do something with it. We tried to get Atlantis to give us a different discount code so that you would get the entire stack on your ticket. They can't do it. So what we're going to do, I didn't run this by Len, but we'll probably do this, I think, Len. If someone decides to buy a ticket with the code, I realize, like I said, it's a little far for Canadians, but if you buy a ticket with the code, that money will come to us somehow. We will donate it with the boosted sats to the next, you know, whatever charity we pick. I think the last one was Wayside House. We haven't done one since Wayside. Or did we do Motive? We did Motive since Wayside, right? Yeah. So the next charity
we're actively donating.
we're giving a lot of money away over here. But the point is we're not keeping it. We tried to give it to you guys for logistical reasons or whatever. We couldn't do it. So we will take the 5% that we get and we will donate it to a worthy cause, as we always do. And if you have any questions about that, hit me up or hit up C-Funk on Telegram or Twitter. I'm sure you guys know who she is by now. Yeah, so looking forward to seeing if anyone takes advantage of that. Some good speakers to that one. See the list for that? Sailor and a few others, man. Yeah, big names.
Joey, let's dive right into the Bitcoin-related news. There's lots to talk about. We're 15 minutes in.
And
there's lots to do. So lead off with Swan, right? Like Swan is, they have announced they're getting, or they've gotten into Bitcoin mining, which, you know, this news, for me at least, came out of nowhere. I was not expecting this, totally out of left field. And they say that they've been mining for some time since the summer of 2023. And the hash rate, if you look at the overall hash rate of the Bitcoin network, it's been going up for a long fucking time. And we've always guessed who's been energizing ASICs. And so you look at this announcement, this might be a very small piece to this large puzzle. There's some, you know, they're not a small operation. According to them, they're saying they're pumping out around 4.5 exahash per second. I think I even saw a tweet today. They were 4.9 exahash per second. They said they have the equipment to ramp this up to 8 exahash per second. That's a decent amount. Like 4.5 is pretty big. 8 exahash is pretty big. But if they have the equipment to get to 8 exahash per second, obviously they bought the equipment. It's sitting there. Why haven't they plugged it in to take advantage of it? Right? Like, if you have it, you're going to use it. It doesn't make sense not to. Question I would have, then maybe they don't have the power available to them.
Yeah.
But really, who knows? Because there's a lot of unknown right here. And of that 4.5 exahash that they originally announced, one exahash is actually being pointed towards ocean mining. So be that what it is. And some questions now I have. Why would they release this information?
You know why? You fucking know. Well, we're going to say the same thing. Yeah.
It's got to be, there's pertinent information they have to disclose before going public, right? Also, like, why go through this whole process? They're not a Bitcoin mining company. At least they weren't before the summer of 2023. It's not cheap. Like, the CapEx to get involved, to spin up a new Bitcoin mining operation, is fucking large.
We've talked about this on the show so many times that, like, getting into industrial scale mining is basically impossible at this point.
It's very costly, albeit though, the price of ASICs have come down as we're approaching the halving, as next generation of equipment was released last year.
Yeah, that's why.
So
yeah.
There is, I mean, opportunities to buy equipment on the cheap, I'm going to say, but really then after the halving, we're dealing with
It's OpEx cheap. Issues. It's cheap equipment. Exactly. Like, you can buy it on the cheap, but it's cheap equipment now. Like, that's the problem, right?
Yeah. And so this can be potentially appealing in the right circumstances. And should there be a shortage of Bitcoin to buy, Swan, being vertically integrated, gives them a huge advantage. They can mine the Bitcoin, they can move it to their OTC operations, and they can sell it to customers. But we're not there yet. Bitcoin on the open market is plentiful. I could easily buy it if I had the money. And if you look at this recent purchase or this recent endeavor they're doing, it seems like they're gambling on something, right? I don't totally know. I'm just guessing here, but it seems like they went live back in July of 2023, right? Mm-hmm. So they must have been planning for this for some time, maybe months, potentially years. I don't know, because it takes time to order the equipment, have it delivered, takes time to energize all these ASICs. It takes time to hammer out agreements with these energy companies. It takes time. And then of note, there's one dude that's involved here. His name is Rafa Zaguri. He's the CIO at Swan, and also he's quoted as the head of Swan Mining. And this dude was hired back in January of 2023. So he hasn't been there for a heck of a long time, a little over a year. But if you dig into him, he's a TradFi guy. So maybe they went hard into Bitcoin mining after his hiring before. I don't know, but it's hard to say. But there's a lot of questions. Again, I just don't have the answers here. But one other thing, fuck, I almost forgot. They mentioned it through this whole thing. They have no debt through this operation.
Mm-hmm.
That means VC money, right? Like, to spin up something like this and to come up with no debt, money had to have come from somewhere. Plus, they say they have another round coming up for money. They're going to be raising more money. So they're hungry for cash, which can be concerning is I suspect that there may be a share dump by insiders once this goes public. If they're constantly raising money, I don't know. That doesn't seem to me like that it's a business that's profitable. I don't know. Again, so many questions I don't really have. We may never get these answers directly, these questions directly answered, but it's another mining opportunity, another mining company, publicly traded probably next little while. I want to see what's going on, because once they go public, they have to disclose a lot of information. And at that point, we could just dive in and see what's going on.
Okay, I'm with you on everything you said. I want to point out something that I was thinking. Narwhal is also saying it in the chat. I wish I remembered the specifics on the Odell versus Swan commentary from a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago now. What are the odds that they announced this? Because that set of publicly available numbers really didn't jive with what everyone knew about the operation over at Swan, right? So that's one possibility. The other possibility, like you mentioned, the most distinct and the most obvious is that they have responsibilities as far as reporting and disclosure before they go public. And so why not do this instead of having it, you know, show up in an S1, right? S1s, you'll remember when we were talking about Coinbase getting sued by the SEC, Coinbase and their proponents, me included, were talking about how Coinbase, you know, if it was truly in violation of securities laws, shouldn't have ever had their S1 approved. The S1 is what you file with the Securities and Exchange Commission in the States when you want to go public. So Swan would have to put in their S1 that they were mining, right? It's a revenue stream. There's CapEx and OpEx there. And there's stuff that's, you know, that belongs on a ledger, basically, a business balance sheet. So that's one problem or one reason. And then the third one, Len, you know, were they in need of some good PR? I think they were in need of some good PR. It's debatable whether this is good PR or not. I'm not 1,000% sure how I feel about this. As you mentioned, I think that even sort of my rudimentary understanding of mining, maybe not rudimentary, I think I'm more than that or deeper than that, but my understanding of mining, you know, to the points you were making, is that this is sort of the worst time to be mining and maybe also the worst time to buy equipment right before a halving. You and I have talked about this a lot. Home miners, industrial miners, doesn't matter. You know, worse than they have all this gear, but not enough power at a time when really you want to have your hash rate on as hash rate continues to grow and expand exponentially on the network. Like, you're just losing opportunity every minute that you're not powering these machines on. So to me, I kind of think the announcement's half-baked. Do you share that view? Like, if you kind of put all the pieces together, did they want to announce this now? Or did they want to wait until sometime down the line when they had all the stuff running? Because to me, if you understand a little bit about mining, this isn't that great an announcement. The news is not really all that positive. It seems like they did it because the fuse was already lit and they had no choice but to announce now, even though maybe the operation wasn't as scaled out as they wanted it to be.
That's an interesting viewpoint, and perhaps you're right. I never thought about this as a way for them to generate buzz and some good PR at a time when they are probably desperately needing some good PR. That may be possible, but another one, as like I talked about, is, and you mentioned it, is that this is going to drastically change the valuation of the company. If they
could, yeah.
And if it does, because now they have equipment, it's equipment that you could sell later on. So there's valuation now to the company. Granted, probably VC money came in to buy this, but that's still valuation to the company. And you need to document this. This has to be disclosed before a company goes public, because that way you can get accurate determination of what is the value of the company. So when you purchase a share of it, you could understand, okay, that makes sense why it costs X amount. So I think that they release this because there's also the opportunity for them to go public, and they can't leave this behind. They have to announce it to everybody because it does make a big difference to their. And again, as I said, it does make it vertically integrated, and this can be a good thing, just not now, right? Like, if Bitcoin became scarce, if there's no exchanges out there to have Bitcoin, you're dying to get Bitcoin, that's a good situation to be in, because they could mine it and sell it to the customers directly. But we're not there yet. I don't know. And again, not having power, as you were talking about, yeah, that's potentially why they haven't plugged everything. And that's, to me, something that's very concerning. You have the equipment, it's sitting there, it's losing value by the day.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to lose basically all its, like, all its commercial value in April. It's going to lose all of it, basically. like all of it is going to be lost. And then the next generation of hardware is going to come out and it'll be truly a negative asset at that point. And so you announce that you have it, but you couldn't fire it up. That's what I mean. Like they lit the fuse on this thing for some reason and then couldn't get it out. They couldn't get it to scale the way they wanted to. I don't know. And like, again, like it's not that I think Swan's like an incompetent company. I don't necessarily think that. I just don't. When I look at the operation, I see a disjointed company, right? I see a company that's working on media, working on public relations, working on being an exchange, working on being a sort of, you know, ecosystem promotion company. Like I just put in the chat, they're working on all these things, but what are they doing really well? I don't know that they're doing any of those things really well. And, you know, it's something that you and I have talked about from the standpoint of like the podcast, right? You're either better or different. And if you're not better or different, then you just sort of, you know, circling the drain until someone else comes along that is better or different, or you lose market share to someone that is better or different. I don't know what they're doing better, and I don't know what they're doing differently than anyone else. The stuff they produce as far as media is not particularly good. I mean, easy for me to say, you know, me and you from the basement here, small time operation, but for a company that talks about how they have $100 million media arm, it sure as shit doesn't look like one. It doesn't seem to function like one. And like we're just saying here, if I look at the other silos they're operating in, I don't really see any great deal of expertise. Do you? It's again, cheap seats. I get it. This is the peanut gallery if there ever was one. But to me, you're saying it increases the value at IPO. I don't necessarily think industrial mining is like a good business. We've talked about this before. I think the valuations of the industrial miners kind of show that most people on Wall Street don't necessarily think these are good businesses. And if I look at, you know, what Swan is doing, the other thing I would say, Len, is if they are doing it at a level that where they become successful, I mean, Coinbase could do it better with more connections, more regulatory capture, like all these things, right? Like they're not going to do it worse than Swan. They will do it better. And over time, this kind of effect compounds and your business has trouble staying afloat. And then when you also factor in the kind of soft issues they've been having, like the, you know, pedo spaces or whatever the fuck that whole ordeal was, and this stuff about, you know, there was another Swan controversy. I forget what it was now.
The gold thing?
Maybe the gold thing.
That was not really.
There's been a few is all I'm saying. And I would just point out that these days in TradFi, more than in Bitcoin, that kind of stuff matters. Those slip-ups will matter more to boards of directors, to investment boards, to all these different people that are parking money with or considering investing in your outfit. And if you drop the ball on those things and then also can't do the things that you claim to be delivering on the most effectively or the most efficiently in the market or among the most effectively or most efficiently, like if you want mining exposure, get it from Hut. If you want exchange exposure, get it from Coinbase. Why would you get it from these guys? So I don't view this as good news. I think it was hype. That's why I think they did this with the fuse half lit, because they needed the hype even though they weren't ready to announce. And I think in the long run, we're going to look back at this and say, yeah, this was a sign that something was going on there, that they knew they needed a little bit of support or extra help, and they weren't going to get it from their operations. So they tried to spin up this little media thing and pump it. Or I shouldn't say spin up a media thing, spin up this mining thing, pump it, and then see what happens. But I think it's going to wind up falling flat. Honestly, I'm not saying Swan's going to be bankrupt next year, by the way, like don't put words in my mouth, people. but I do think that there's better places to get. I mean, you can just go across the board. There's better places to get mining exposure, better places to get media, and better places to get exchange. Period. End of story. You may not agree with Coinbase's shitcoin model, but they make a fuck ton of money and have all the regulatory capture. That's the end. That is the end of the story. Okay. Swan's not overcoming that. Sorry. That's just the way it is. And so I don't know why you would go to these guys. I have a hard time understanding it.
If I'm not in the States, so for me to say which is better, which is worse, I have no idea. I don't know what are the offerings over there because I'm here in Canada. And to be honest, I have been kind of shutting myself away from a lot of stuff over there because I don't need to learn about that stuff. It doesn't impact me. And that kind of stuff, I just tell people buy KYC free and then you're good as long as you're able to secure properly.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. Then
I just want to add BTC Moon guy making a comment here and I wrote back to him in the chat, but yeah, Swan is a Bitcoin only company. At least they're Bitcoin only. Buddy, I agree with you, but Wall Street doesn't give a fuck about that. So unless, you know, Wall Street suddenly becomes a group of Bitcoin maxis and not people trying to, you know, outperform the S&P and get their bonuses every year, it's not going to matter. They don't care. You can't sell Bitcoin only to people when the rate of return is half of what it is at Coinbase. It's just not the way it works. So I look forward to seeing what becomes of this. But my suspicion, Len, is that this is going to fall flat.
Let's go to the next topic, which is still a bunch more to talk about. We're half an hour in. Treasure. And Treasure, it's those guys, they fucked up. Because if you are a user of Treasure, and number one, learn what's going on here. Because this hopefully will make you understand using their products fucking sucks. Because it was revealed this past week that Treasure, they suffered a security breach. And this is impacting around 66,000 of their customers. And the security breach, what was stolen? Well, it was the names of individuals, email addresses of clients. So not a heck of a lot, but enough to really do some damage. And immediately afterwards, there were some phishing emails that were being thrown pictures of it on Twitter. And these phishing emails were, you know, the people that were impacted by this security breach. And it was trying to gain access of the wallets of people. They were tricking them into clicking a link and to give them access to a wallet. And I assume they would be with the intention of draining it. So we hear about this story, these security breach stories, Joey, often. And we're hearing it very often now because we're doing the Axis of Easy podcast. You should listen to it wherever you listen to your podcast.
Please subscribe. Yeah, please subscribe.
All types of businesses suffer from these security breaches, but it hurts more when it's related to Bitcoin because of what's at stake. And I would suggest people look at CoinKite, right? CoinKite, they say that they hold on to a customer's data for a period of 6 months and then they destroy it after that. And the reason why they do this, they hold it for a period of time, then destroy it, because I'm talking about the destruction part, is because they respect people's privacy and they're not selling data, right? They're not keeping this data long-term. They're selling it as soon as they're able to destroy it. Sorry, they're destroying it as soon as they're able to. They're not selling it. And why, look at Treasure. Why would they hang on to this information? Seems like indefinitely. Well, it looks like that they're trying to get more money out of you. You've already bought the equipment. You gave them some money, but that isn't enough juice to squeeze out of this lemon. No, they got to use the fucking press to get that last drop out of it. And that last drop is your information. They are potentially selling off this information to make more money later on. So looking at this, people out there, look what's going on. Treasure, they could fuck off with their shitty practices and their shitty tactics. And people out there should really do yourself a solid, you know, buy a device from a company that has a good reputation and respects your privacy. And if you do that, stay away from the rest because they are looking at you as data and another product, another potential product they can monetize. And I suspect Treasure is one of those companies. And here they are, another security breach. Fuck, stay away from them.
Two things I want to mention. BTC Priestess, great friend of the show, noting in the comments here, you can also ask them, CoinKite, to nuke your info right away if you want. So you can, the way to do that is to message HODLD on Twitter directly in the DMs and have him do it. He is the guy you talk to no matter what the CoinKite problem is. Any support you need, you have to message him directly, DM only. I'm just kidding. But it would be funny if people started doing that. So you can do that. The other thing, Len, like, again, a sort of a deeper cut. If you don't listen to Axis of Easy, you should. Not because we do it. That's part of the reason, obviously. But the other reason you should listen to it is because it gives you an idea of how advanced some of these things are becoming when it comes to snatching commoditized data from these honeypots. The one thing we talk about on that show a lot, and I'll talk about it here, is, you know, we do like five stories a week, right? And of those five stories, invariably one or two are these like huge, huge data breaches where it's like everyone's email address, phone number, enough to send you like a very, very clean looking phishing email and try and get your stuff from you. The one thing I point out on that show is that the gap, and this goes for publicly traded companies, by the way, we've talked about this too. It's not just like these little small outfits like CoinKite or Trezor. It's publicly traded companies that experience this too and also go through the following. the gap between the breach being known and understood by the company and them needing to report to the public is enormous. Sometimes it's more than 18 months on that other show. We talked about data breaches that happened with like 23andMe starting in 21, didn't get reported until 23. So not only do you give your data to these companies and then they fucking just lose it, okay? Like completely moronic, incompetent, inexcusable. But then on top of that, they don't actually have any requirement to tell you once they know they've lost the data. So what you see instead is these companies getting, like people who use these companies getting phishing emails sent to them over and over and over again. The snowball becomes big enough rolling downhill in terms of like the public discourse about, oh my God, I got a fucking weird email from Trezor. There's a million people talking about it or 500,000 people talking about it. Then Trezor's like, oh, by the way, look out for these phishing emails because we fucking left your data on the front porch and somebody snatched it. Sorry about that. We'll look into it. Or as we find on the other show all the time, what is the remedy all the time, Len? 2 years of credit monitoring courtesy of company XYZ, whatever the story is, right? But the point is that you actually don't even know. You may not know right now that your data has been stolen from a company that you trusted or a hospital you trusted. Everything from hospitals to movie theaters, we talk about on the other show. Trezor is the least of your worries, man. The point you should take from this is that if you have to give your information to somebody, use things like the Apple Hydra email service. Use things like burner emails. Don't ship to your home address. Don't do like anything you can do to obfuscate yourself. You got to do it because at the end of the day, like there's been ossification in terms of like digital security on the part of these big retailers. And Trezor, you know, they want you to trust them with your Bitcoin security and your shitcoin security, I guess, in some cases too. Mm-hmm. But they can't even protect your fucking email address, man. Okay, they can't even fucking do that. I mean, proof is in the pudding, just right? Proof
another in the reason why you shouldn't use them.
CoinKite is a company you should use. They're not even a sponsor. Yeah. They're not even a sponsor of the show, and we still talk about them every week. We wouldn't talk about them every week because they don't release that much stuff. But we talk about them because literally every other company in the space is just full of fuck ups every week. It never stops. It's exchanges losing your Bitcoin. It's stuff getting nuked by governments overseas. It's Trezor giving your email up. It's Ledger promoting hats where you can store your Ledger Nano. CoinKite doesn't have to do anything, and we'd still talk about them because just everybody else is just full of morons. It's steady. It's steady stream, right? It happens every week. So, you know, make it that what you will. I would be very careful about who you give your data to. Movie theaters, Len. Remember the movie theater story from a couple weeks ago? If you went to the movies or something, like you got your, geez, nuked. All you wanted to go was, you just wanted to go see the latest garbage from the Marvel Cinematic Universe or whatever.
Ninja Turtles.
These soy boy SSRI addicted teenagers are seeing now. And now your data's out there. Sorry about your luck, you know? Shitty, but that's the way it is. Just be careful. That's all. Because no one else can be careful for you. You got to be careful for yourself.
We're already in this pretty deep. Let's talk about the next topic. Aqua Wallet.
Sure.
Yeah, they're now open source. And we talked about this
from your guy Samson Mao, who you
I have, you know, he's more your buddy than mine. You've blasted him in the past. But anyways, we talked about this Aqua Wallet a little bit in the past, and because it was getting a lot of attention, and now they have open sourced it. Remember, that was one of the beefs we had when it was first launched. So this part has now been rectified. So got to give them credit here, but there are still other concerns because let's dive deep into this. Remember that at any time you could change your Bitcoin into something else that's not named Bitcoin. I don't want to say what it is. You guys know what the fuck I'm talking about. Anytime you use Bitcoin, you change it to something else. Remember, this is a taxable event in Canada.
Yes, people sir.
And if you are using your KYC Bitcoin to do this, wish you good luck. Because clearly you're doing something that you could get fucked over later on. So remember, when you're exchanging Bitcoin to something that's not named Bitcoin, you might even have Bitcoin in name, but have some other name in front of it. It's a taxable event. So anyways. Remember, I'm not a fan of that stuff that's not named Bitcoin, but I don't want to talk about that too much.
The word in front of it, is it like a state of matter? Is that the one you're talking
could
about?
Could be. It's not solid and it's not gas.
Okay, yeah. I got it.
Yeah. But anyways, you know, And there's a lot of people that like that, though. They say that there's a reason to use it, but really it's centralized stuff. Like, I don't want to get into it because
there's trade-offs. There's trade-offs.
Yeah. So, but I would say this. If I were to use something that has utilitarian value, which, let's be honest, that's what we're trying to achieve here, I would use the US dollar. That has the ultimate utility purpose in the world. But I'm not going to use it because that's a different shitcoin, and I don't want to deal with any shitcoins, period. Anyways, these guys, Aqua Wallet. Data collection. We talked about this before. Let's talk about it a little bit more in depth this time.
Sure.
People who use Aqua Wallet, I would suggest, strongly suggest, don't use their support service if you want to remain anonymous. Why? Because by using their support service, they may, as per the terms of service, TOS, collect your email, Bitcoin address, transaction ID, swap IDs, and any other information alongside with that. Check this out, section 16 of the TOS. Section 6 of the TOS, I just want to bring your attention to that. It's mentioned here. Lastly, Aqua uses several third-party services to provide certain forms of swaps between digital assets. And they're saying here that they could give up some information to these third parties. So they may not collect information from you, they say, but information is going to be sent to the third parties. What are those third parties going to be doing with the information? We don't know because it's a third party. So they're going to get some information, swap identities, shit. I don't know exactly sure what's going on, but there's information that's being bantied around here. Also, some more brilliance from Section 6. Aqua may receive a fee from such services for providing access to the wallet. I stress here, access to the wallet. So if they allow a third party to get access to the wallet, such they could receive what they say, a token, so that Aqua may receive referral credit in connection with there within. So if somehow with a third party, the third party gets access to your wallet, Aqua gets a fucking token to prove that they were able to give that. They're getting access to the wallets here. Privacy policy. They say additional information may be collected depending on whether you opt in to certain settings of the application. For example, if you opt in for the data collection of the settings of any version of Aqua, additional information about your transactions with our mobile application may be collected synonymously. This is in the privacy policy. You better damn well not opt in to this fucking privacy. But I, by the way, I took a look. I couldn't even find where is the setting for turning off this privacy thing. So they're collecting it and you can't fucking turn it off. How many more red flags do you need? Well, here's some more. They're even using WhatsApp for their assistance. So when you need to go to the you got to go to their phone and click on I need assistance. It's WhatsApp. WhatsApp, everybody knows that it's not secure. And that's another reason why you shouldn't be using this. They say they're going to be using they're using Zendesk, but WhatsApp is going to be used in the future. Fuck that. I would stay away from this. And another thing, they don't even allow you to use the block explorer of your own node. So anytime you use a block explorer that is free to use, like mempool.whatever the heck the website is, or
mempool.space. Yeah,
that's space. Yeah, I use my own node. They're collecting information. Why is this service free? It costs money to buy the domain name. It costs money to set up. These companies, these websites, they're collecting information. And Aqua is using these. They're directing it to one of Blockstream's, another thing. So it's another data collection method that they could do to figure out your IP address, to what address, because you're not going to put in an transaction ID that's not belonging to you. Of course it's going to belong to you, and then they could tie shit together. But the last thing I just want to say, it's a fucking rant here, I'm sorry. The support of shitcoins. I talked about this. I don't want to talk about the shitcoins we already talked about, because there's some new shitcoins. Like, love that. There's some new shitcoins that are included in this. I fucking went through the process of installing this on an Android emulator to prove that I didn't trust. I verified. I fucking can't believe I had to do this. They even have under fucking Aqua Wallet, INF token. This is the official game currency of Infinite Fleet. What's the max supply? Who the fuck knows? Who the fuck cares? It's another shitcoin they support. They also support JPYS. This is from the team at Crypto Garage.
Yeah, that's great. Enough.
Another one they thought was Peg X, Euro X. It's one. I gave up looking what the fuck this is because I got tired of this part.
If you type in Euro Peg in Google, you're asking for trouble.
This is Peg X, Euro X. But and if you think I'm just blowing smoke, check it out. Go to settings, manage assets, and add these fucking shitcoins that I mentioned. They could be added to your fucking wallet. I know. I fucking tried it. I went through the process. I verified it's there. So if you want to use it, fine. Go ahead. But remember, they deal with shitcoins. We trash Ledger. We trash Trezor for using shitcoins, adding it to their suite of products. Why don't we do the same thing for this? It's data collection. I don't fucking agree with that. If you want to give up your data, go right ahead. Fuck it. I don't believe in it. But you want to do it? Fine. Fantastic. Cool. But you know what? There's other options out there. Look for them. It's better for your privacy. Don't deal with this garbage.
I had the vindicated Wojak on the screen during your rant there. We're always fucking right. You know, like, I shouldn't say we're always right. We're not always right. But most of the time, you know, we have pretty good radar on the show for people who are doing things for the wrong reasons, I think. And I would bet if you look back at the 3 years, almost 3 years I've been doing the show, by the way, catalog of, I don't want to call them attacks, but let's say questions we've had for certain people and certain companies over the years. I think we've been right an awful lot. And this is another example. You know, people were in the chat last week or 2 weeks ago asking what the shit coins were and if it was just, you know, LBTC or whatever. LBTC, you know, it's easy to call it a shit coin. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. I don't necessarily think it is.
Centralized.
There's trade-offs there. Yeah.
It's centralized. You are trading your Bitcoin for something that you don't have control over. That, by definition, it's a shit coin. They have total control of what you're doing. They mine it themselves, or it's a proof of stake. I don't even fucking know. I don't give a shit. It's a true shitcoin. You can't audit the ledger. You can't add yourself as a miner. You can't do anything. You're just subservient to them. You give your Bitcoin. It's pegged one-to-one. Hopefully you get your Bitcoin back. But once you trade your Bitcoin for that, you don't have your fucking keys to your Bitcoin. They have it. And you have to beg for them to give it back at the end. There could be a rugging. There could not be. I don't know. But don't give them the opportunity to rug. Bitcoin, if you do it right, you have control over your fucking keys, over your assets. Like this, you don't. Don't fucking do it.
Okay. Just want to give you the spotlight there. So I will just, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. You shouldn't use it, right? I mean, there's people saying it's a layer two, whatever. I don't necessarily agree with that. But I will say the other stuff you mentioned there, like whatever Galaxy Infinite Universe game or whatever, like, I mean, what are we talking about? You know that there's money to be made every time they do a swap. So what do? They introduce more vehicles through which you need to swap. You know that they're selling your data. So what do? They introduce more people to whom to sell your data and give wallet access. Like, it's really not that hard to figure this out, guys. This is a joke of a product, and Sam should be taking a lot of shit for this. He should have to publicly apologize. Trace Mayer left the space entirely over less than this. And to me, this is a bad one. I think this is a bad one.
Well, I gave a lot of information here. Boomer saying it's custodial lightning, a shitcoin. If you don't have control of it, it's garbage. You're trusting somebody else to give your asset back to you. Ultimately, we should be staying away from this. Bitcoin, what makes Bitcoin so appealing are the fundamentals of it. And one of the fundamentals are you can and should control your keys. Why would you give that up? Why would you buy an ETF? Why would you leave your money, your Bitcoin on exchange? Why would you trade it for a shitcoin? I don't understand. I truly don't. But if you're going to do it, all the more power to you. Hopefully you don't get rugged. And remember, every time you trade it, at least in Canada, it's a taxable event. If you're reporting that, great. If not, good fucking luck.
I just gave you the nickname the janitor in the chat because you are always in control of the keys, all keys at all times.
I got a key ring that fucking huge, man. And it's got like the dungeon master.
I like your stance, man. You know that. I share your concerns. Again, Samson, like, just say sorry. Admit that you're running a data selling operation and that the app is anything but free and anything but Bitcoin focused. Like, there's not, you know, there's no shame in that game. A lot of people doing it, a lot of people getting rich on it. So enjoy it, but don't pretend to be a Bitcoiner and maybe drop the whole Jan 3 thing while you're at it, since it's clear your priorities are somewhere else. So,
well, they do offer dark mode, so there's a bonus there.
Oh, good, good.
All right, SEC, they released some information about their X account.
I love this.
And what is the SEC telling us? Well, they confirmed that with their telecom company, that the cell phone number associated with their Twitter account or X account was subjected to a SIM swap attack. And personally, I would love to get that number. Call it up and see if Gary Gensler himself answers the telephone, because who the fuck is manning that? But the people behind the SIM swap were able to gain access to the SEC's Twitter account or X account and release that infamous tweet that we know and talked about so much in the past. And they did have multi-factor authentication, MFA, enabled at one point up until July 2023, and then they stopped it. Somebody inside internally disabled it or asked it to be disabled in the account. Why? I don't know, but that's kind of suspicious if you ask me. And this is the official reasoning from the SEC. What actually happened is anybody's guess. And it's a good thing, though, we do have the SEC out there to protect our best interest when it comes to investing, because they can't even put in the effort to protect their X account, which requires fuck all in terms of time and effort to put an MFA and keep it up there. But anyways, they're the ones coming up with rulings and judgments on what we could do, how we could trade equities, and how we could protect ourselves. Give me a fucking break. But it comes, like, there's another question that comes up from all this. Who's going to protect the SEC from another attack like this? They have since re-enabled MFA in their account, but really, like, do you have any, do you believe that they're going to have another attack? And if you, like, I think that something could happen.
Does Gary have Google Authenticator on his phone now? Is that, like, what he's doing?
I don't know.
Sorry, I'd love that number. Gary, can you just send me the code? He sends it to you. Sorry, that one, no, I need another one. That one ran out. Can you send me another one?
Be quick next time. But I don't know. All this that, shit, does okay. it change your in opinion my, on
in,
anything?
Yeah, well, in my head, like when you're saying it's like a little bit suspicious that the 2FA was disabled, the scenario I just outlined to you is very plausible to me when you involve like a couple of 60-year-olds who don't necessarily want to do Google Authenticator or 2FA. It's plausible to me that this happens once or twice where like someone forgets a password, needs to reset a password or something, and it's just too much of a process. So they're like, fuck it, just shut off all the security and just don't lose the password. Like keep the, whatever, it's fine. And then the guy just gets SIM swapped. It's amazing. And when you're asking who's going to protect them, like it's so funny. These guys in the US federal government are on Elon's jock all the time. That's the wrong term. Being on someone's jock is a good thing. They are lighting a fire under his ass all the time, criticizing X, calling him names, claiming he's anti-Semitic, all these things, okay? If he didn't own Twitter, would we have seen any of this stuff? Would the account be protected? Would he have given them advice on securing the account? I don't know. But to me, like, these guys are basically relying on this fella now not to manipulate markets, because they've proven, again, to be incompetent when it comes to securing their own data and account information. I don't know.
CBP Media could handle their accounts. So if they want to,
I'm too busy. I'm not sending people 2FA. You guys should see the number of times me and Len message each other. Hey man, can you send me the 2FA code? Hey man, do you have the whatever tablet you use to sign up for this account? Is it around? Hey man, send me the code for this. Because no one, these websites don't even use passwords anymore. Like nothing uses a password. Google doesn't want a password. They want you to click the thing in the app on your phone. It actually is like harder now to get an app like Twitter to use a password instead of using like a 2FA feature. So these guys maybe are like making it harder for themselves. I'm not sure. When was the last time you like used an SMS 2FA for something?
No, not too long ago. I still have one account that still uses that. I got to change it. But yeah, not too long ago.
Like my professional stuff uses SMS 2FA.
Oh fuck. Yeah, that's right. I think about
that all the time. Like, holy shit, this is not at all secure, friends and enemies. Like, not good.
Let's not go there. Let's talk about the COPPA trial really quick, because we don't have much time here. And I'm not sure about you, but I'm kind of following this now. It's very juicy in terms of details and what's going on. This is the trial between Craig Wright and the Crypto Open Patent Alliance. And it's supposed to go to court on February 5th. So it's coming up very, very soon. And Craig Wright and team offered a settlement to the COPPA people, and they said no. And they want to take this to court and have this heard in front of a judge. The COPPA people, I'm not sure if you took a look to see who's involved there, but there's a lot of people that you may know. Bitcoin Core, Peter Todd, Greg Maxwell, Block, Blockstream.
Peter Todd mentioned this it was like at the core, not at the core, no pun intended, of his presentation at Bitcoin in the Canadian Bitcoin conference last year, talking about how no one can tell him how to behave. And he made reference to him being sued by Craig over his claims that he was not Satoshi. I don't know how many more details you want to share, but I just want to say, as like my comment on this story is very simple. Guys like Hodlnot, McCormick, Todd, and others had their lives turned upside down by this guy. And you may not agree with everything McCormick does. We're pretty critical of him on the show. I don't know much about Todd or Hodlnot, but to say that these guys weren't unfairly, you know, derided by this fellow is like the understatement. It's like just ridiculous. The stuff that he was saying about suing them all into oblivion, forcing all the, you know, their families into the poorhouse and whatnot, like Hodlnot saved the receipts, man. And McCormick did too. And to their credit, you know, they shared them the other day. Here's why we're not going to take the settlement. Here's why we're going to try and take this guy to the cleaner. Here's why we're not going to let him off easy. I look forward to seeing this end, man. It's deserved. I don't often wish like bad on people, but I find myself getting pretty close with Craig. These are decent people, you know, and they've done a lot of good things for Bitcoin, even if they've done some bad too. I can't say the same about Craig and Calvin Ayer. As far as I can tell, you know, they're in the wrong here, and they're gonna wind up paying for it in a major way. It seems major way. McCormick's numbers, by the way, and Hodlnot's numbers on some of the costs, like $10 million right? worth of like insane amounts of money and time. Can you imagine like the stress that would cause you? It would be unbearable. It would be unbearable. It's good that justice is finally being served here, by all accounts. So yeah, good to keep an eye on this one for sure. The COPA trial. Interesting stuff.
COPA trial. Next week it starts. Yeah. Anyways, ETF news. We'll do this one last thing before we cut off the Bitcoin side of things. Bitwise ETF. They're the first one to come out and disclose a public Bitcoin address. So they have a Bitcoin address for their holdings. So you could go there, take a look what's in there. And yeah, so this is something that they have done. And I guess, isn't it kind of concerning that everything's in one address? But what do I know?
I don't know.
Maybe they took enough precautions to ensure that they don't get anything stolen. But yeah, I'm willing to bet that they probably don't use Ledger wallets. And they're wearing that stylish hat, that's Ledger stylish hat that they have, and they're not wearing it in the office. They're probably using something a lot more secure than that. Something funny, too, about all this, somebody sent them some sats, 6969 sats, and it was just added to the pile. Like, if I would suggest, like, it's pretty funny, but give it to somebody else. They don't need your fucking sats. Somebody else could take it. Give it to a charity. There's lots of charities out there that are accepting Bitcoin. And, one last thing I just want to mention. I'm not going to talk about Vanguard. Vanguard, fuck them. But the laser eyes. Mm-hmm. Franklin Templeton,
yeah.
They removed the laser eyes. Didn't last very long. Good to see they took your advice and they got rid of the laser eyes. A lot of comments about the laser eye comments, Joey. A lot of comments.
I have no further comments on the laser eyes this week. some fun data for you on the side of the ETFs, okay? The top two, this is from Tour de Meester, who writes a great report on preparing for the bull market. I've been meaning to reach out to Tour because I do want to talk to him. I think he's got a lot of great stuff to say about Bitcoin price. It's always enticing to me when I hear him on a podcast. From Tour, indeed, the top two Bitcoin ETFs are enabling the buying of about 9,000 Bitcoin a day, which is 10 times more than total mining supply per day. After the halving, it will be more than 20 times more the mining the mine coins per day.
If it sustains.
That's just the top two ETFs. The number is actually bigger than that.
Eventually, there's going to be it's going to draw, like, wind down a little bit because interest is going to wind down to at least the initial at the onset. Plus, you have GBTC seems to be there. People that are liquidating.
GBTC is almost done. It's almost
then finished. Then you have Mt. Gox coming very soon. And you have also the US government said they're going to be liquidating their Bitcoin. So there's going to be a lot of downward pressure in terms of the price of Bitcoin the next little while. I'm not saying that Bitcoin is going to go up, but I could see that there's going to be a glut of supply coming in the next little while. What that means, I don't know, but it's just one more variable we have to consider in this equation.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Always things to consider. I am very bullish on price. Very bullish on price.
I hope it stays low. I want to buy a bunch more, reach my 2024 stacking goal early and then continue stacking. But that's just me. Anyways, I'm very...
Let's wrap up Joy. The Bitcoin news. That's it, I guess, eh?
In an hour. That's what we worked, at least what I'm trying to aim for. So that's not bad, Joey. That's on time.
Love to see it. If you're on audio, see you tomorrow morning, 5:30. If you're on video, stick around. We're going to go right to Clown World News, which judging by the play counts... has become very popular with you guys over the last year or so. So we got some dingers today. I didn't even tell Len. I got some my own stories I want to bring to the table tonight. So looking forward to that one. So if you're on video, hang around. And if not, we'll see you later.
Yeah, don't be a cock.
Are you a fan of the old school NHL 94 game on the Genesis or SNES? Why not check out my show, the NHL 94 Podcast. From tournaments and tactics to the people who make up this community. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts or find it on YouTube.